Hello and welcome to Mellow Pod from Not Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
And we are here for the final time this year. I need a tissue or something.
Dry those eyes, Gary.
We are here for the final Mellow Pod of 2023 as we take a look at the final of Melody Festival and Sweden's show to select their song for the Eurovision Song Contest. Oh, wow, what a season it's been.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
It's 6 weeks. It's flown by, really, hasn't it? When you think it's been 6 weeks.
Yeah, it does not feel like... It's actually 5 weeks to the day since we started doing these.
Yeah.
Because of the way, obviously, it all works.
Yeah.
And it was really much back to business this year, wasn't it? Let's crack on and let's put it back in the on the tour. Let's go back on the arenas and stuff like that. And it was all really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see it kind of back to normal, I suppose, after a couple of years of disruption. But we're here to look at the final show, which had 12 songs in it. 12-song final.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make our job a little bit more difficult. And we find ourselves in Stockholm in the Friends Arena, which apparently had about 30,000 fans inside it.
It did look very busy.
I mean, we're very lucky that we've got some tickets to go and see a Eurovision show in Liverpool.
Ooh.
And of which there is apparently a capacity of about 6,000 seats for those shows. So,
gosh.
You know, can you imagine if you'd gone to Melfest and been to that final, and then you go to Eurovision Liverpool and you're like, hang on, this is supposed to be the bigger event.
Yeah, where is everybody?
This is tiny.
Yeah.
I feel like I can practically touch the stage. It looks amazing. It looks like packed to the rafters there.
It does look, it looks really, really busy. Doesn't it something like it can hold about 60,000 people in total?
I think so, at full capacity.
That's big.
That is a big, big old arena for it. Well, all exciting. Of course, this time around, we have both the international juries and the televote, mm-hmm. and that vote's all thrown in the mix. Just a quick word about Farah and Jesper, our mm-hmm. hosts for this year. Looking back now over the 6 weeks of competition, did they do a good job?
I think they were okay. I don't think they've had the chemistry that previous hosts have had, maybe.
Mm.
But they did a perfectly acceptable job. I mean, Jesper was clearly there as the comedy stooge.
Yes.
And Farah was doing the more serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe not quite as much chemistry as what we've seen in previous years between different hosts, but they did nevertheless a good job.
Yeah. Well, we are going to have a look at what was happening on the show, and we're going to play a little recap, I think is the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you, Jon Henrik Fjellgren, Ark North, featuring Adam Woods? And Breathe.
Oh, oh.
Donna Segelius, Rhythm of My Show. Mariette, One Day. Marcus and Martinez, Air. Panetos, On My Way. Maria Sir, Never Give Up. Never give up. Right, well, that is it.
Yeah.
First six. So let's take a look and see how they all did and what we thought. So starting off with act number one.
Mm-hmm.
Melody number eight. Jon Henrik Fjällgren, Ark North, featuring Adam Woods. Where you are. I keep on saying, where are you? Thinking it's a typo. Where you are.
Mm-hmm. Because he wants to be where you are.
Where you are. On that. So this was a direct qualifier.
From heat one, wasn't it?
Yes.
Right from the very first week.
What did we think? I mean, Ben Mabby hasn't seen it for about 4 or 5 weeks.
I know. Yeah. It was another solid performance. I did like the staging with the platforms. I like the light show behind them. I think we all agreed in the first week that we liked the Sami.
Yeah.
And the yoiking that was happening, which was pretty cool. Yeah, an all-round good entry.
Yeah, and very classically Eurovision with, like, the big frame and the tinfoil jackets. And
yeah.
That. So, yeah, no, I think it was a good performance all-round.
Yeah, so our opinions haven't really changed. There was nothing. Yeah, not a bad one.
No. Nope.
So let's have a look at how he did in the scores. So jury vote, 8th place, 23 points.
Mm-hmm.
Public vote, 4th place.
Yeah.
A little bit higher. 58 points, giving it a combined total of 81 and 4th overall.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think that's not a bad result for them. And I hope it pushes them forward to enter again.
Yeah, it shows you there's still that, you know, the home crowd love that kind of thing. There's still a market
for it. There's an appetite for it, isn't there?
Definitely. Right, well, we will crack on to song number two, and that was Tonis Kelius, Rhythm of My Show. So, I mean, Tona, as we said, another direct qualifier, second year in a row that they've competed. We talked previously about how last year was about kind of, you know, making history, being the first trans contestant in Melfest. There were nerves there. We could see that in the performance last year. And this year, it's more about cementing her position. A lot more confidence, I thought.
Mm.
But we weren't sure if the song was quite as good as the effort from last year. You know, based on what we saw last night, anything changed?
No, nothing's really changed as far as I can tell. Do you remember the because there were the pyros, weren't there, near the beginning? Were they new?
I think they were. They're kind of big jets of flame, pink flame.
But yeah, I think overall, I think she cemented herself as like a great performer. I think, Alex, you said before that this felt like a bit of an evolution for her.
That's definitely been sort of my word of the last few months with some of these Melfest entries, isn't it? Evolution.
Yeah, and I don't think Tona expected to win because she booked herself on Dancing with the Stars Sweden. which starts in a week or two, apparently. Going into it, I don't think she ever thought, I've got a shot at winning this.
No.
It is more about the platform that it gives you, I think, that exposure.
Definitely.
So when we look at the scores then, we got 10th place with the jury, 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
Public vote, 11th place, just 5 points.
Yeah. I think the problem with the song is it's something that we've heard before. It was very fuego, slow-mo, that sort of vein. It was nothing unusual. It was a good song. I liked it. I think it's catchy. But I think a lot of people would have been like, we've seen this before. It's all right. I quite like it. But I think there are other songs that take my fancy more.
Yeah.
But well sung. We some of those long notes. She really hit it well. We didn't, I think we both said after that performance, we went, that was good. That was, wasn't any bum notes there that we could tell. And they handled the long notes really well.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, then, that combined score was just 20 points and put Tona last.
I don't know.
I mean, personally speaking, I would not have placed her last. No.
I wouldn't have placed her last either.
And last by actually a considerable margin as well.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
When you think that there's like a... There's 24 points of difference between Tona and the next person up.
Yeah.
On to song number three then. Mariette, One Day. And this is the third week in a row.
In a row.
That
we've had to watch this performance.
And is there anything else really that we can say about this performance that we haven't already said?
I feel I need to eat some humble pie because 2 weeks ago I was pretty scathing, wasn't I?
You were. And then again, I think we all were a bit scathing of this performance when we first heard it.
Beige was the word we used a lot.
But like all good Eurovision and Melfest entries, it's grown on all three of us, I think.
It has. And whether that's just, you know, repeated exposure and, you know, you actually do pay attention. Because it's very difficult, I suppose, when it's, you know, one in the middle of seven, that it's all done and dusted within an hour. You've been blasted with seven songs.
Yeah.
But we've had the chance to watch this develop over 3 weeks and see how the performance has been tweaked over those 3 weeks as well.
Yeah, I feel like... The performance has become more dynamic with each time we've seen it. There seems to be more movement. It all felt quite static that first heat, but then I felt like with the second chance last week and then the final last night, I felt like they've used the stage and the prop that they had there a lot more. There was a lot more dynamism and energy about it.
Yeah,
not so beige. This time.
No.
I actually think maybe they've cut back slightly on the smoke for the third performance. Because do you remember the previous pod, I was going on about how this smoke seemed to linger for ages across the stage and produce this haze across multiple acts.
Yeah, I think Mariette must have, like, swapped with Loreen, but we'll get to that later.
that one has been a grower.
Yeah, I like that one.
So when we look at Mariette's score then, so what did she get on the jury?
35 points, coming seventh.
And public?
16 points, which was 10th place on the public.
So overall, 8th place then, 51 points. Mm. I mean, she got there to the final. I mean, so she's kept her record of getting to the final, although, albeit she had to do the extra step of going through the second chance round to get there, which she hasn't had to do previously. So you do wonder if she's on a kind of Linda Bengtzing kind of trajectory where you keep coming back, but you've got diminishing returns.
And
what we saw happen to Victoria in the heats this year as well. Very popular, has got through to the final on a couple of times she's participated. This time couldn't get out of her heat. Right, on to song number four then. Marcus and Martinus.
I can breathe without ah.
I mean, they are Norwegian, as we mentioned last time. So I don't know if that is controversial if they were to represent Sweden, if they'd be like, but they're Norwegian. Norway's trying to get a win by proxy. I don't know if they're... The Swedish people are probably not bothered.
I mean, about to say, there's a fairly mixed group of nationalities represented at Melfest. You've got Marcus and Martinus, who are Norwegian. You've got Maria Sir, who's Ukrainian.
Oh.
Kiana, who's half Australian.
True.
You know.
True.
They're not exactly snubbing their noses at acts from foreign countries, are they?
Not at all.
Absolutely. No. So for me, this again was another direct qualifier, and it was all about the lasers. It's the show that they put on. They themselves, not a bad performance.
Oh, absolutely not at all.
It is, rather than choreo, it feels more like they had a bit more freeform. Let's bounce around the stage a bit. There's choreo in little parts. But a lot of it is we need to stand around whilst our lasers buzz around us and stuff like that and make us look cool. I mean, I'm looking at the video now and I can see there's choreo on the chorus.
Yeah.
Other bits are a bit more freeform on it. again, it was a good song, I think, when we saw it.
Yeah. We liked it straight away, didn't we?
Yeah.
I'm still not sure about those outfits, though. They haven't changed. Remember I said, please, please reconsider.
Yeah. No, the whole thing has grown on me. It gives me very, very Ollie Alexander years and years vibes about it, which I think works very much in their favour.
Yeah. I mean, I said last night that I'd have to take your word for it because I wouldn't know one of Ollie Alexander's songs if I fell over it in the street. But, yeah, I will take your word for it. It's a very, very solid, very, very competent, well-staged, well-performed, catchy, very appealing song with that light show.
Can't disagree. So let's see how they did in the scores. How did they go with the juries?
They didn't do too badly. They racked up a lot of tens, didn't they?
Yeah.
Coming second was 71 points.
Public?
Same. They came second again with 67.
Gave him a second place overall, 138 points.
Mm. Very good, very consistent.
Yeah, and if we look at kind of just digging into the breakdown a little bit more, you're right, they got four tens from the jury vote. They're Belgium, Malta, Australia, Germany. Mm. All gave them tens. They got eights from Spain, Latvia, and Austria, and a seven from Croatia. So they didn't score below a seven. That's not bad.
That is pretty good.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly a big favourite there with the international. And obviously, when we look at the breakdown, the 67 points in the public vote, 138 points overall. So
yeah.
Maybe they'll come back and do it again. Or do you think Norway, MGP, will be knocking on the door going,
ooh, I would be.
Hello, do you want to come and do your home country next year?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, it makes you wonder, did they approach MGP this year, and they were like, actually, we're full, so why don't you go try somewhere else? So they did, and they were like, oh gosh, we should have had them, shouldn't we?
I think because they are a new act this year. I don't think, we haven't seen them before.
No, but they're fairly well known in Norway. Mm. They've been performing since they were kids. They still are kids.
Well,
really.
Yeah.
But I wonder if this was more an attempt to crack the Scandinavian market and break out of Norway.
Maybe.
Because it's a massive platform. Mm. If you want exposure, this is one of the best places for it.
Exactly. I think with a score like that, whether they represent Sweden again or Norway or anyone else, I don't think this is the last we'll have seen of Marcus and Martinez.
No.
Okay, we will go on to song number five then, which is Panetoz, On My Way.
Now, this is the first time I've seen this performed, because I missed the heat.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And I couldn't find a performance of theirs for Love Nor Money, because obviously SVT take them all down off YouTube after a certain point to not make it give them an unfair advantage over performers later in the competition.
Oh, then I absolutely want to hear what your opinion of it was.
I thought it was a really funky performance. And maybe not necessarily to my cup of tea, but I thought it was really well done, really well staged. They were clearly having a ball.
I find it surprised you didn't like it that much, because you described it last night as being very sort of close to kind of Latin pop.
Well, yeah.
And I know that you have a big thing for Latin pop.
I think that's the thing that appeals to me most about it. I did like at the end where each of them kind of like grabbed the camera and were like pulling the camera around the stage with them.
Yeah. Mm. It was very like friends filming like a party or something on their phone or something.
Yeah. 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 Very colourful. I liked it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Like you said, it's a summer tune.
Yeah,
And they know that, judging by the massive great orange that's on their backdrop, it's acting as the sun. I do like Panetoz have always delivered. I think whenever they've come to Melfest, they've always come with a bit of an anthem song, which you know, and I like the fact that they stick to Swedish. They've not felt the pressure to switch to English. And I have no doubt, as we said before, that is going to be a big one for the summer in Sweden, I think itself. That'll be played a lot.
Yeah.
So how did they do on the scores?
Let's have a look. So jury votes, they got 22 points coming in ninth. And then public vote, they got 25 points coming in ninth again, which resulted in a total of 47 points coming in 10th place.
I think they'll be happy with that. I don't think they ever expected to win.
No. Did anybody ever expect to win?
Well, we'll come on to that. Reasons, yes.
Reasons.
Okay, on to the last one then for this batch. Song number 6, which is Maria Sir, Never Give Up. So this is the Ukrainian national that's only been in Sweden for about a year. Had competed on some talent shows back in Ukraine before having to flee. And has spent the last 12 months trying to break in to the music market over in Sweden. And again, as we've said many times already today, what better platform if you want to launch yourself?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This one was seen as one of the big favourites and a serious contender.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But we said that might be more based on the backstory, which provides an extra layer to the song.
It gives the lyrics another hidden meaning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm not sure people really lapped it up this year.
Well, looking at the performance, so again, this was another direct qualifier. I don't think a lot has changed by the looks of it.
No.
In general, apparently, somebody put out a stat saying most acts in the final had actually added more camera shots.
Okay.
Only Loreen had actually gone and reversed it and put fewer shots in. But the most, maybe in an attempt to create a slightly more dynamic show, a bit more snappy, they've introduced more shots, and maybe the bigger arena allows you more, slightly more variety and more cameras to play with anyway, so you can retool. This performance, she kind of spends most of it alone on the stage, and then he's joined by a few backing singers, but they're kept very much at the back. I don't know, maybe that's part of the story. It's I feel like I'm on my own, but then I've got support, people have got my back.
Maybe.
Kind of thing. Maybe that's the
idea.
Very
deep.
Or maybe it was just, we just think, look, we want to give you the moment to shine, and then we'll introduce some backing singers, which, with it all being pre-recorded, are not needed. They are just there for show. On it. She can sing.
Without a doubt, she's a great singer.
The lyrics, nothing very original, I think, as we've mentioned before.
No.
That shot where she's standing with her back to the audience and all the torches are on people's phones.
Yeah.
And you can see the scale of the arena.
Yeah, it's huge.
It looks insane. Being up on the top row, you must be so high.
Yeah.
But those seats must be so cheap.
Could you imagine if she had got to Eurovision and they tried to do that in the Liverpool arena? By comparison, it'd just be a bit like... Eh.
It'd be half of what you see there.
Yeah.
So how did it do in the scoring then?
It did not do as well as what everybody thought it might. Jury vote 11th with 10 points. And really, with a song like that, you think that song is jury fodder.
But not terrible on the public vote. She came 6th with 37 points, which, even though she tied with Panatos with a total of 47, that I think probably was what boosted her up to her total being in 9th place.
It kind of all didn't go according to plan.
No, I'm sure she won't give up.
I don't know. Maybe it was just fans and the bookies buying into the backstory.
Yeah.
Knowing how Anders Bagger last year had got a large, he won the televote. He got a large chunk of points.
Yeah.
And he was well known, and I think there was some backstory there about he was incredibly nervous. We mentioned last year about him being, he did interviews where he said he was incredibly nervous about performing. He wasn't used to it really. He was known as more of a judge on Swedish Idol. That kind of thing. And I think it speculated even that he might not want to do it if he won.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Anders Bagger. That's last year. No such nerves this year, I don't think, with Maria. I just don't... It just hasn't worked out. The international juries seem to almost ignore it. The televote were generous to a point.
Yeah.
Nothing really.
Nothing. I mean, middle of the board televote.
Very much.
Very middling.
So let's have a look then at our final six. Six feet under, smash into pieces. Kiana, where did you go? Slep a la Soya, Nordman. Marine Tattoo. Mate of Day, Teos. And Royals, Paul Ray. There you go. Final six. So, we'll start then with Smash Into Pieces. 6 feet under. Bit of rock. First time we've had rock for a while in the final. I don't know. For this one, for me, I felt it had lost something. I wasn't as keen on it as I was when I saw it in its heat.
Fair.
And I don't know if that's just because of the competition it was up against on the night.
I suppose you are comparing it to 11 other fairly strong songs, aren't you? Whereas in the heat, it's perhaps not as much competition, maybe.
That is the thing about it. When you're comparing it to whatever else it's competing against, there's always going to be a little difference when it moves up from the heats into the finals or from the heat to Andra Hansen and then again into the finals. We've seen that.
There's a step up each time, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good show, still a good show. Don't feel like they've changed a hell of a lot.
No, I still like the stage and I like those panels they have coming down near the front of the stage where they're all performing, and that kind of like futuristic cityscape. Look that they've got. Yeah, it's a good performance. It's not necessarily to my taste the song, but I do still like it. I think it's catchy. I know you like it, Alex. It's your cup of tea, isn't it? You quite like this sort of music.
Yeah, I do always like when those kind of alternative, particularly like the rock songs, get into Eurovision, get into Belfast.
Okay, well, how did we do in the scoring then?
I was pleasantly surprised that it did really well this year. I mean, jury vote came fourth with 53 points. Came in third with the public for 59.
Wow.
So it came overall third place with 112.
Yeah. And there was a big gap between third and fourth place.
Yeah.
A really big gap. Mind you, there's a fairly big gap between third and second as well. But yeah, I think it shows that there is that appetite for that sort of rocky music, which we've seen in Eurovision, especially since Måneskin won in 2021.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have been disappointed to see that go to Liverpool, to be honest.
No, I wouldn't have.
Right, we will move on to the next song, which is Kiana, Where Did You Go? Just 16 years old.
I know. You know what? I'm not going to hide this. I really like this song. There's just something about it that I've just found really catchy. I know it's a bit repetitive with the lyrics, but I don't know. There's just something about it that's really captured me. Mm. And I think it's really catchy. And, you know, I said in our Best of the Fest, I think, last night, that this is the one song from Melfest that I've actually been singing and going over. It's been my earworm for the last week or so.
It's all very slick. Her mum's a choreographer or a dance teacher, something like that. And it shows.
Yeah.
She has got the moves.
Oh, yeah.
To go with the song. Yeah, it's a solid pop song.
Yeah.
It is, actually. I can imagine something like early Britney singing it or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sort of maintaining the thing. But the song itself is good. The choreography was well handled. I just feel like on the night, a lot of fake other things let it down. I wasn't particularly fond of like the staging or the lighting for it. Her vocals could have been a bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated what they put her in. I despised that outfit. But, you know, again, 16, that takes a lot of guts to get up on a stage at that age in front of 60,000, whatever it was.
Yeah.
60,000 people and perform your absolute heart out. So, you know, many claps to Kiana. Well done.
Yep. No doubt we're going to see her again.
Oh, I'm sure. She'll be back. She will be back. And I'm glad.
So, in terms of scoring, sixth of the juries.
Yeah.
Yep.
37 points.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth with the public vote. 39 points, not bad.
Fairly consistent.
So, sixth overall, 76 points.
Good, solid sixth place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For your first outing at Melfest, I don't think she can complain about that.
Yeah, she should be proud of how well she's done.
Absolutely. Okay, we are moving on then to song number 9, Nordman and Slip a la Soya.
Shall we just skip to number 10?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Gary.
Folk pop, yeah. Okay, none of us are fans of it.
I don't mind folk pop, as long as it's done well.
But you can't deny there's a market for it. They've been around since the 90s, recording and releasing stuff. They are still selling. They have not faded into obscurity. You know, we have to acknowledge that.
No.
Just because we don't like it.
Totally.
Yeah, there's still a market for it, at least in Sweden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We won't say too much about it because, I guess, you know, it's just not a cup of tea.
It's not. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's performed well. It's sung well. It literally just is not to our taste.
Yeah.
But it's like you say, there is definitely an appetite for it in Sweden.
Well, let's have a look at how it did on scores. So what was its jury score?
Not good.
Not good.
It came last with 8 points.
Oh. Did the public give it any more love?
Yeah.
Yeah, 8th place with 36.
Okay, so that gave overall 11th?
11th. Mm-hmm. 44 points.
So clearly juries, not really landing with them. At all. And we're looking at it got ignored by 4 of the juries.
Yeah.
And it was the most it got was 4 from Croatia. Yeah. 1 point from Belgium, 1 point from Malta, Germany gave it 2. So really low score.
I think it's whilst there is the appetite for it, I think it's in some ways it's a bit of a, let's call it a retro. And it's perhaps not going to appeal to many juries or certain demographics.
Yeah. We are going to skip song number 10 for now.
Why? We didn't do that, Gary.
We will loop back. I promise. Song number 11 then. Teos, Mare of Day.
And I want to see more of you two, Teos.
This is second time in a row. I don't know if you'll... Maybe you'll have a year off next year. And
maybe.
Then you'll come back and you'll look really old. Like, he's grown up. He's got a beard and stuff.
Bulked out facial hair.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all like this one, don't we?
We do.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he's just such a really likable performer as well.
He's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It's a little bit K-pop.
Yeah.
And that's very popular right now. So it's a good bandwagon to been jumping on if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
He changed his jacket out, didn't he, for this one? He got a red jacket on, which he didn't have on his previous performances.
I'm pretty sure he's had a different coloured jacket every single time he's performed.
Well, maybe he has, actually.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think he had a green... Because he had a green jacket in Andra Hansen, and I don't think he had that in...
In his heat.
In his heat.
Hmm. Maybe he has. Maybe,
we should have done more research.
We're bad fans. There'll be people out there, they'll have watched all of these shows about 10 times. Why haven't you done that, Gary?
Sorry. I mean, if I had one criticism, it's that he was put in slot number 11 and not slot number 12.
Yeah.
That is a closer.
That is a closer, you're right. That should have ended the show.
Because it's got so much pyro. It's bang, bang, bang. Bounce, yeah. Bouncy pop, lots of pyro. Big finish.
Mm-hmm.
And you stuck him on at 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't agree with that.
No.
But how did he do in the scores?
Jury votes, he came 5th, 42 points.
Not bad.
He needed a 12, I think, from Croatia.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
And then in the public vote, he came 7th, 36, resulting in an overall 5th place with 78 points.
He's got to be happy with that.
Yeah, I think so. And he's got a very young fan base. And I think a lot of his public vote points, because we haven't seen the full breakdown.
No, they've not been released yet, have they?
Recording. I think a good chunk of his points would have come from the younger demographic.
Mm. Yeah. I've said this before, but I do wonder whether if he did sing in English, whether he would get more of a fan base.
Maybe.
But I do like the fact that he stuck to Swedish.
It didn't harm him with the juries. If he could get 5 true. Singing in Swedish with the international juries, then, he perhaps doesn't feel the pressure.
No.
Let's move on to song number 12, which was Royals, Paul Ray.
Mm. Now, out of all the songs that Paul Ray's done for Melfest, this is my favourite of the ones he's done. I think mainly because this is a bit more of an upbeat one, and his others have felt a little bit slower and more kind of like considered and introspective, whereas this is maybe not an out-and-out banger, but still, you know, a good upbeat song. And I like the sentiment about, you know, I'm going to treat you royally.
Yeah.
I like that.
Being nice to another person.
Definitely. I agree
with the sentiment.
Who doesn't like that?
No, who doesn't?
In terms of the song, it's not one of these ones that's growing on me. I think this was a direct qualifier, wasn't it?
It was. From the was it Heat 1 or Heat 2? Heat 1, I think.
I have to go and look it up now.
I think it's Heat 1.
Scroll.
Thank goodness for Melopedia.
We need to get Gary.
Was it 2?
I'm trying to find out where he is.
Royals.
You know what we need to do? We need to get Gary like a little like a Rolodex or something, just so he can like.
I know. I swear. No, it was Heat 3.
Heat 3.
Gosh, it feels like it was a lot.
It does feel like it was a lot earlier than that.
Yeah.
But he swept the board. He got loads of 12s.
He did, yes, yeah. He did.
And I think, yeah, I was a bit like, I don't understand. I was surprised when it got through.
Sure.
Directly.
I think we all assumed it would definitely get to second chance, but we were surprised that he got direct to finale.
Yeah, we thought that maybe Melanie Weber for the show.
I
think that was a personal preference. I would have seen that go forward over Royals, Paul Ray.
Sure.
So how did he do in his scores then?
Wow. He came third in the jury vote, 56 points.
Oh, gosh.
And in the public vote, he got un point. Ooh. 1 point.
Ooh.
Going dead last in the public vote.
That was, not quite up there with John Lundvik, but not far off. But I did like his reaction. He kind of like laughed it off, and I saw him like holding up his one finger.
One point. 1 point, Sweden. Really?
Which just goes to show, I think, because, like I say, in his heat, he hoovered up those 10s and 12s.
Yeah, he came second overall.
But when you put it up against those high caliber songs in the final, it just goes to show how you can drop down the rankings, I think,
in
people's opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very odd. Didn't expect him to be score so poorly.
No.
Considering he was a direct qualifier. Okay.
We're still overall in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
You know.
Them's the breaks. Well,
thanks to the jury.
So let's loop back to song number 10.
Who sang this again?
Lorraine. Small time artist, just starting out. practically an unknown.
Has she done it before?
Well, you know, she did something a few years back.
Oh, right.
What was it, in 2012?
Was something about called? Something about being ecstatic or something.
Obviously, we're all joking. Queen Lorraine, tattoo. I mean, were we surprised by this one? Really? Was anyone?
Ever in the history of anything?
No. Look, she'd been the pre-contest favourite practically since her name was announced.
Yeah.
Not even, you know, we knew nothing about the song. But just her name being attached made her one of the favourites. But then there's that danger that we see 2017 repeat itself and she entered with Statements and bombed out at the second chance round.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as we said, Statements was fairly, had a fairly political vibe.
Yes.
And you know how we feel about politics at Eurovision.
Well, she did it.
Yeah.
She performed just the once this time.
Yeah.
Well, apart from the winner's reprise. We had no protesters.
No.
No.
She added more lights. Fewer camera shots, but more lights.
She borrowed a bunch of Mariette's dry ice. So much there were shots where we could barely see her.
Yeah, they need to think about that because some of the shots she was properly obscured. You couldn't see it properly.
They were just like, there's not enough dry ice. Need to add more dry ice this time. It's too much dry ice!
Yeah. Somebody over the Hoover going, wafting it out.
Get rid of it!
It's a performance. It's a memorable performance.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's ready. We say this every year about Sweden, don't we? It's ready for Eurovision, isn't it?
Yeah, you can just lift it up and plonk it in Liverpool. Although, you might not be able to because it might be too heavy for Liverpool, apparently. But I'm sure they can adapt it.
They've got, 2 weeks. They're gonna MacGyver some sort of way of figuring out how to...
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be fair if they had to change around the performance just because of a little technical issue in Liverpool.
But, I mean, most countries do change their performance, don't they, from the national final through to the actual Eurovision?
Yeah.
They don't have to keep the same performance, do they?
No, absolutely not. You do have to adapt to the venue. Sweden, in a lot of cases, we've seen they've tried to do a copy-paste as much as they can.
Yeah.
But John Lundvik, in 2019, his lights in Melfest were suspended from the ceiling, I think.
Right.
He's kind of like paper a stapler, wasn't it? It was the light up stapler.
Yes.
That he'd got. That couldn't work for Israel when they were hosting, so they had to have something that was mounted on a trolley and was wheeled on instead of being suspended.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know if that is a similar solution that they could do. Is there enough room? If you can't suspend it and lower it from the ceiling,
yeah,
you could interfere with the lighting grid and stuff like that, I suppose. Can you put it on its own trolley, essentially, its own framework? Can you wheel it on?
Wheel it on, and then it can raise on its own hydraulics.
Like one of those, what are they called?
Like cherry picker.
Cherry picker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can have a little cherry picker, and you just go
zzz,
up and down.
Yeah.
That would work. Yeah.
Can that be done? Is there enough space? This is the problem again, isn't it?
How high has it got to go?
An arena that can seat 11,000 at full capacity.
Yeah.
That's reduced to 6,000 for Eurovision versus something that can take 65,000 at full capacity.
As long as they make sure to do the hydraulics the right way.
Apparently, it's quite heavy.
Yeah.
It's a big risk doing something like that.
Definitely.
Your sandwich could...
Didn't you say that someone online had already commented and describing it as being like a panini press?
Yes, and I keep on calling it Lorraine's sandwich.
I think if I was going to give her one critique, I think I would like her to enunciate more clearly.
Yeah.
I think some of the lyrics, I think... I think it's difficult to fully understand what she's singing occasionally. But also, in a way, I quite like that you can't necessarily follow every lyric. It adds to the mythos.
Yeah, apparently she redid her nails and they had all kind of like quartz and crystals and stuff. So it's slightly different from
those
her,
nails were fantastic.
A heat.
I think everybody. There'll be lots of people at Eurovision that will be sporting those nails. A lot of spectators that will be sporting.
In ours, well, we're going to see Semi 1, so we are going to get to see.
We will get to see Lorraine.
Oh my god! So I'll have our nails done specially. Yeah, it was just an all round great performance. No big surprises, I don't think.
No.
So, let's take a look at the scores. Jury vote?
Jury vote, 92 points. You got 12s from every country except Croatia the jury votes.
Which is, and they gave Croatia's first, didn't they? I wonder if they did that to throw everybody off at first and go, oh, Lorraine didn't get 12 from Croatia.
Yeah, but it's like a... thing is, it's all live streamed though, isn't it? So, like... They could never have predicted that that's how it was going to be, would they?
Well, is the jury vote done on the previous evening's rehearsal?
Oh, there.
Like they do with Eurovision.
Yep. Friday night's performance is what was
scored. As I said before, SVT know exactly what they're doing.
So I bet they'll have picked which one's gone first to announce
them. Yeah, so people go...
Oh my goodness, because she only got 8 points, I think, from Croatia.
Yeah.
Yes.
8 points.
Yes, you're right.
Because if she'd have got 12 across the board, she'd have been on 96 points.
Yeah.
So she missed out on 4 points, which means she must have got an 8 from someone.
Yep. Yeah, Croatia scored her down.
Yeah.
They put Mare of Day, Teos.
It's 12.
It's 12.
Got 12 points, didn't they?
And, the 10 went to Royals.
Royals, yeah.
We have a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the one we all expected all along. She delivered.
It was Lorraine all along.
Yeah, and with 92 from the jury and an 85 from the public, both the top scores in both. So that's 177 points altogether. She's putting 39 points above Marcus and Martinez. It's a
very comfortable win margin.
Although...
not as much of a landslide as I think we perhaps thought it might have been.
No,
you're right.
Still a sizeable margin.
But again, there's a good margin of it. But if the public vote was something like, there's 22 points of difference. And in the jury vote, it's 21.
Mm-hmm.
So not as big a gap, but a very significant gap. Between the second and first place.
Yeah. I think we'd all been kind of slightly misled by the fan polls. that had had something ridiculous. I think I saw one that said 90% in favour of Loreen winning.
Wow.
And the remaining 10% was split between all the other acts. So maybe that skewed expectations slightly.
Maybe.
Thinking.
Maybe. Yeah.
So that is it for Melfest 2023. It's over.
All done.
It all played out pretty much as we expected it would. This was all 6 weeks just to give Loreen the trophy.
Yeah. I think if you look at the final table of positions, I think certainly the first and the second are who I thought would come first and second. And then smash into pieces at third. I wasn't convinced they'd do as well as they did, but kudos to them.
Yeah.
Do you think she can win Eurovision, though?
I think given her reputation and how, considering that like 10, 11 years later, how popular Euphoria still is, I think she has got a very good chance.
I agree. It's not as good as Euphoria, but I agree. I think she's got a very, very good chance. She's got to, hasn't she, really?
Yeah, and fan reaction has been a little bit mixed. It's odd. Lots of people being hyped for Loreen. And then when she's won, I seem to be seeing a lot of comments which are more negative and saying, ugh, it's not the best song. I don't think it should win Eurovision. And I just wonder if that's more of... because it's Loreen. If it was another country that had entered this song, another artist...
Yeah.
I think the would have been a bit more positive comment.
I think the thing of it is, for me, is that those people that... knew and kind of felt strong that Loreen was going to win, are going to show that support right up until, you know, the inevitable. You know, for those of us that were in Loreen's camp from the beginning, you know, we continued our support. Now that she's won, it's like, oh, you know, this is what we expected. The right person for us deserved to win. Our work here is done. Now that the competition's over, the only people who still have anything left to comment on it, really, are the people who are out there
who didn't like
haters.
It.
Haters.
Yeah. So haters going to hate.
So naturally, afterwards, it's always going to be the negatives that we feel more than the positives.
Yeah. I think it's all about the hype, and I think there's always, in any kind of like situation, whether it's Eurovision, whether it's a movie, a TV show, whether it's a brand new Doctor Who, the hype is great. But I think there's a fine balance between the hype falling over into, oh, I'm sick of hearing about this. Oh, this isn't that great. Why am I still hearing the hype? And that, I think you've got to tread a fine line of building that hype, but not building it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might be what people are a bit annoyed about with Loreen, maybe. Wow. That hype.
Well, here's the thing. It's 2 months away from Eurovision now. Or is it 2 months?
2 months.
So we can all take a...
2 months, yeah.
We can have a brief sabbatical. Calm ourselves down. Get ourselves ready.
Pick out some nails.
Pick out what nails we want. Order in our nice beige body suits, our long flowing swamp witch wigs, and be ready for Liverpool.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Oh, right. Well, that really is it. Melopod's over for another year.
Don't cry, Gary.
It's been a pleasure, though.
It has.
We've really enjoyed it, and we hope you've enjoyed listening as well. We will be back for Eurovision in May, and we'll be hopefully maybe do some actual recording from inside. Ooh. I've got mics and everything.
I know.
Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.